Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. There's all kinds of debate about what this verse exactly means, or even how best to translate it. Nonetheless, this particular translation captures a consistent truth found throughout the Bible. People despise God in Christ and the kingdom he brings. In every generation, we have fools who say in their hearts, there is no God. In every generation, as the psalm describes, there are the arrogant who pursue the poor, the wicked who boast of the desires of his soul, those greedy for gain, those who think everything is fine with themselves and the world that spins around them. People love themselves and, the corollary, so hate God. People hate Jesus. People hate the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Late in the Reformation, Luther observed how the gospel is received with joy in one place, but hated in another. How it was embraced across Germany, but resisted in Switzerland, Italy, France, and England in various ways. Luther wrote, "The gospel has its day and takes its course from one city to another. Today it is here, tomorrow there. It is like a heavy rain shower which passes from place to place, soaking and enriching the soil. Even if a certain place accepts the gospel today, it will not stay there long. People hate it. They view it with envy. They curse it. Yes, they starve it out. They view the gospel, the word of God, with envy. The Lord looks down upon this world to see if anyone, by nature, seeks after God. And he sees the fools, the wicked, those who hate him, those who are jealous of the gospel because of how it shifts the focus away from them. And so they starve the word of God, even resorting to force, if necessary. We are tempted in such similar ways. We compare ourselves to our neighbor and think that if we can get them to look at us with more affection, then that means that God sees us and, by the approval of others, approves of me. We turn our eyes away from the word of God and right back on ourselves. We try to starve out that truth that declares that all glory does belong to God, where our actions expose the opposite. We are the ones who all too frequently do violence to God's truth and even steal it from others, even by force, even without meaning to. God looks down upon you and me, all of us, in our times of our stumbling, and that's why he sent Jesus. At just the right time, in just the right way, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. He came to redeem you, a lost and condemned person. God sent forth his Son to purchase and win his kingdom for you. Through his holy, precious blood on the cross, through his innocent suffering and death, and through his glorious resurrection. Though we often resist his kingdom from coming, he offers such the kingdom freely as a gift by his blood received by faith, not by works of the law. These are truths that Luther began to grasp early in life, but then fully realized later on, and especially the truth that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That people hate the gospel, are jealous of it, and starve others of that pure sweetness. Luther was told, you don't know. You can't be sure if you're saved, if you've done enough, or if you've done well enough. And so bred that terrible monster of uncertainty. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Luther wondered, with that message alone, has my penance been enough for the kingdom of heaven? Have I done enough? Have I achieved enough? Improved enough? Will I be saved? I don't know, I can't know, was Luther early in life. Who knows? Well, thanks be to God that Luther then went really to the most obvious place, but in the 16th century, not so obvious, to Romans 3, Ephesians 2, and the like. The violent who had imprisoned Luther's conscience with uncertainty then beheld that conscience unlocked, freed by the word, opening the way to the banquet feast for us who inherit such discovery of the gospel as well. As it was in our epistle, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. That's how we know. By God providing, by God donating himself to securing our righteousness. It is here on the cross is how we know we're good enough for God. On the cross is how we know that though we die, yet shall we live. Because the Father gave us his Son. That's how you can know with certainty that no, God does not look at your sins, but desires only to freely give you the kingdom of heaven by his grace, by repentance and faith. This is a Reformation truth. We repeat it time and time again, and we behold it against the Pope, the Roman Catholic Church of here before and even still today. But it's also a Reformation truth against Protestantism at large, even our own Protestant impulses, where just when we settle in to this peace of Christ, just when we discover that salvation for ourselves and how it's found in no other name than in Jesus, suddenly we want to turn back to the works of our hands, to the power of our decisions. So that Luther, he asked the question, how do we know we are saved and discovered from the scriptures? By his love in Jesus. Somewhere along the way, the question became, how will others know we are Christians? And the answer, not by his love, but by our love. They'll know we are Christians by our love, says the common quote. Well, we rightly say the only way to salvation is by faith alone. But here the tide turns back to Rome when we add these conditional if. You will be saved if you accept Christ into your heart, if you can show others that you love well enough, so that whether Catholic or Protestant, the sinful human heart constantly turns inward on oneself for salvation. Dear saints, resist this temptation. Don't look inward at your good works or your feelings for certainty. You'll find instead doubt. Instead, look to the outward promises that are outside of you. And regarding feelings, they're fleeting. They come and go. Interpret your feelings correctly. We want to give thanks for when you hear the gospel and feel and become more bold and courageous, but don't then depend on your boldness. Depend on what is the source of your boldness and courage, the gospel. Or give thanks when you hear that your sins are forgiven and you then experience feelings of peace and happiness. Don't shirk those feelings, but don't depend on those feelings for your salvation. Instead, we depend on the sure word of absolution. And if you feel forgiven after hearing the words of Christ, "I forgive you of all your sins," if you don't feel forgiven, you want to say to your soul, "That feeling is wrong. I even repent of not feeling forgiven. For the word is sure and certain. I am forgiven. I'm forgiven of that lie that I told. I'm forgiven of that burning passion, that covetous lust. I'm even forgiven of not feeling forgiven." How do I know? Same question Luther asked. Because God has spoken. It is a sure and certain word for you to receive and cling. He's promised whether you feel forgiven or not. He has saved you, whether you feel saved or not. No conditions apply. In the waters of baptism, he promised you salvation, choosing you from eternity, calling you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's promised you salvation, pure, free gift. That's simply how he works. God delights to give you true assurance. So now we may know that the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, apart from anything we do, and is given purely as a gift. So, on this Reformation Day, we make much of Luther's boldness, his courage, his great faith even. And it is remarkable and a model for us. He and the reformers after him, they held fast to the words once spoken to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." But even with Luther's boldness and courage, we must take hold of what caused his boldness and courage. The word. That he simply trusted and trusted that it would do for others what it has done for him. Convict consciences with the law. Change hearts, console hearts by the gospel. Give wisdom. Give peace. Give even fervency for our lives on the world and in the church. After all, as God has said, "My word shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." In Jesus' name, amen.